on. Parshas Kiseitze. The Torah Torisha tells us the Merid Gezach. The parsha discusses. The parsha discusses the different nations that are allowed to come into Klal Yisrael, when they're allowed to come in to Klal Yisrael. Like Sisayev Adoimi, don't push off the Adoimi. Ki Achichohu is your brethren. Like Sisayev Mitzvi Geva Yisrael Ba'artsoi. Bonim Ashigibolem Dor Shlishi Yavolem Kal Hashem. The third generation of a Mitzvi can come to Kal Hashem. Or, Mayan Adoimi also. He say that by the nations of Adoimi and Mitzri. But the pasuk says what? No, it's a different nation. Yeah, it's a different. Yeah. But the pasuk says earlier, Avi b'kal Hashem. But Amon and Moav can never come b'kal Hashem, can never be amongst the nation of Klal Yisrael. Gamdor Atziri, even the 10th generation, further and further away, lo yovoi b'kal Hashem ad oilom. Never and never again from Amoy and Amoyov can come into Klal Yisrael. And the Torah Akdoisha explicitly states the reason for this. You saw it. Al dvar, asher lo kidmu eschem, balechem uvamayim, baderech b'tzeitchem yimitzayim. The reason for this is because they did not precede you, did not come out towards you with bread and with water. That's one thing the pasuk says. The second thing being they went hired out Bilam ben Baor, Naram Narayan the Kalaleko, to curse you. So see two lechayra unrelated events that they did, unrelated Seaboys, reasons and causes for the Isser of Amun Moyav to come to Kal Hashem. And many Mepharshim are very, very, very bothered by the law, by the fact that these two things are brought together. First of all, the question they ask is Asher Socha Lehem Bilam Ben Bahar. They hired out Bilam ben Bahar to Kalalecha. They wanted to destroy the nation of Klal Yisrael. So why is the Pesach HaKadosha mentioning even that they didn't come out to give you bread and water? You want to discuss that hate, that terrible meat, that terrible personality of this nation, the terrible hatred they had for you, what they wanted to do to you. So we discuss such a dramatic event. They came out, they hired out the wickedest of men, Bilam ben Baor, to curse you. And what was the purpose of the curse? To destroy you. To wipe you out. As Tosfos says in Brachos, what was Bilam's koyach? Bilam's koyach was that he was able to know the time when Hashem gets angry. And the Gemara says over the end of Zion, how long is Hashem's anger already? Verses, so it's one quarter, it's a very, very small amount of time. So Tosfos says, what could he say already in that short amount of time? Says Tosfos say that he'll say the word Kalei Chas V'Shalom, destroy, obliviate from the face of the earth, Judeid. That's the nation want to obliviate, destroy, total wipe out, Klaius from the face of the earth. There shouldn't be a Yid in the ganz world, in the whole world ever. That's who Amon Amayim is, and that's what we're saying. Asher Socha Lehem Bilam Ben Bahar. And you should know also, they didn't give you water. You didn't give you some water and some bread. What's the significance of mentioning that for that Indian? But even more so, what?
That's a better question. The whole Joshua versus Lot was because of the war, because the woman aren't supposed to give.
Right.
But the question is, if the whole nation tried to destroy you, then it seems even the woman are.
Yeah, but that also you could.
So why
very good. Excellent. Javi, that's a good question. We'll get there maybe also, but. But the Maisa, it's a very good question. But the Maisa, second question they ask is, if we have to mention it, why is it mentioned first? If you, okay, you want to mention also they did something else wrong. But the chol should be all in order of significance. And if you ask anybody the order of significance at the time, if the pasuk wants to tell you, the pasuk wants to describe to you the terrible acts of this nation, we should go in order. The more significant one, the worser one first, and then continue on with the least, the lesser one. Why the order? First, I believe the answer to this question is Yisoid Godel, to understand why is it that Be'etzem they can't come B'Kal Hashem. Why is it they can't come B'Kal Hashem? What's the Yisoid over here, Rabbi Yisai? What's so bad? Mitzrayim can come B'Kal Hashem. They also killed us out. Mitzrayim can come into the third generation. After three generations, maybe the Midas get the it changes over. By the third generation, the badness, the cruelty that they had in them will slowly weed out, peter out, and then by the third generation, we can marry, as soon as they come a Gerim, they can come back and do Kal Hashem. But this nation never to step foot the Kal Hashem. They saw Chol and Bilam to kill us, the Mitzrayim also killed us. The answer to this, Rabbi Yisai, is Yisoid Godel. And we have to learn up from it in this time of year, especially Chodesh Elul. Chodesh Elul is the month, the Zman, as we mentioned a little bit last week, of Kirvat HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a time when we have to start putting our thoughts on coming to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But we always speak about, we always mention, when we talk about coming close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when we talk about the Midah of Elul, or the month of Elul, excuse me, the month of Elul, what gets into us is, like we mentioned last week, we get to turn into a pachad, scare, how we get through the davening, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, fasting on Yom Kippur, Chet, Al Chet, when we think about the Chatoim, and we look at it as a month of certain type of Chas V'Shalom sadness, or depression, Chas V'Shalom. Again, it's like a hard thing to get to say the slichas and everything. How we missed the boat. That the time of Elul is a really, really good time. And the whole approach to tshuva is a little bit warped also. Because what do we look at tshuva? We look at tshuva we have to do tshuva because we don't get it punished. And tshuva is not supposed to be looked on that way. We'll just speak about it, Mr. Shem, in the coming weeks. Tshuva is really the opportunity to bask in the son of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to come back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to come back to his table, like a son comes back to his father's table. Mr. Shem will talk about that. But I always try to focus on our approach in these months of days of Elul, on our approach, how we can work on ourselves not to do aveiros. We understand very carefully, and we understand very well that our approach to aveiros, why don't we want to do an aveira? Because we don't want to get punished. So sometimes we make the cheshbon, okay, but there's a much deeper cheshbon that we can make, not so morbid that should we get punished, we know about Gehenna. There's a much different type of approach that we can make, the Chodesh Elul especially, that could help us become close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, could help us approach the Ribbono Shel Olam and the Inyan of Chet in a whole different way. The parasha that starts off, Kiseitzei L'Melchama Lo Yavecha, you go out to war on your enemies. Unasonai Hashem Alekecha B'Yadecha, Hashem will give over the enemies to your hand. V'shavisa Shivyoi, and you'll take a captive. And who is this captive? The captive is a beautiful woman from the Goyim. For Isa Bashivya, you see amongst the captives, Eishes Yifas Toyar, a woman of beauty. And your emotions are running high and strong in the war. You can't control yourself. Rashi said, the Chazal spoke connected to the Yetzer Hara. A person has a big Yetzer Hara. His emotions are running wild. He sees a beautiful woman. He decides to take her for a wife. The Torah says you can take her. We give you a heter. Eish Yeshivas Torah is a heter. You can't control. You have to Megayah her. It's a whole process. But at the end of the day, you're allowed to take her to your house. Then you have to go through this process. You have to shave off her hair, take off the, cut off the nails, or I'm sorry, make her nails grow. Well, she says she got nails. You make sure her nails grow long, I'm sorry, in order that you should look ugly, and then maybe the Yetzer Hara will die down. But what does the Pasuk Torah continue? The Torah says, but if you take her for a wife, the Pasuk says, what's going to happen? Kisina, the next parasha says, Kisina, Yishtei Noshim, we have two wives, one Ahuva and one Sinua. Who's this Sinua? Because I'll say that's the Eish Shifas Toya. She's going to be Sinua Alachma. And then, what's going to happen? The Torah says, the Hemshech is, you're going to have a Ben Soirer Umoire. You're going to have a rebellious child. But I ask you, Rabbi Sanna, and you could ask me, we ask each other a very simple question. If the Torah gave me a heter to take this woman, so why does the Torah hold me responsible now? Why is it going to be predicted on me, on that person, that he's going to have a Ben Soirer Umoire? What did he do wrong? He followed the prescription of the Torah. The Torah said you're allowed to take her. What is expected of this person? And why the punishment of the Ben Soirer Umoire? To answer this question, Rabbi Yisrael, I want to explain to you a big yesod. The Torah, after Isha emphasized in this war, and the first we speak about, it says, when you go out to warn your enemy, Hashem will give the enemy over into your hand. And the question being, the first one asked, why does the Torah have to say in this parasha that you are victorious in this war? What's the emphasis over here that you're victorious in this war? Let's say you weren't victorious. You still, it could happen, sometimes you lose the battle, you lose the war, and sometimes you still take captives. Why is the Torah emphasizing the son of Hashem alekecha b'yodecha? The answer to this question, Rabbi Yisai, is a big yisoid. The problem with this person is yid. What is the problem? Why does the Torah have such a prediction for this person? What was he at fault? What should he have done? The Torah is, where was his focus? This person went out to war. A war is a serious matzav. A war is a mokum sakana. A war, at any split second, a person could lose his life and lose whatever he has. And yet, this person went out to war. Unesonoi Hashem alekecha b'yadav, says the Pasuk. He was victorious in this war. He's being victorious in this war. He takes now, he sees in this war, Eishah Shefas Toya, he sees a beautiful woman. What's the time on? His emotions are running high. The answer is, where's your focus? Instead of focus on my person or what I can get over here, his focus should be Hakaras Atoyev Takarish Baruch. His focus should be, I'm so indebted to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Look what he's done for me. I went out with a small gun, and there I went through the lines, front lines, back lines, wherever it winds, bullets whizzing by, tanks, who knows what. And I left this war victorious. I left this war healthy, no limbs, no nothing missing. Where's my focus now? What should be in my heart? What should be my feelings? Where should my mind be? Says the Torah, you know where your mind should be. Unisonai Hashem alekecha b'yadecha. The mind should be focusing on such a powerful thank you. And that should envelop his whole body, his whole heart, and his whole mind. His whole focus should be, Bein Shalom, look what you've done for me. Baruch Hashem, look at the matzav I'm in. Instead, what's he focused on? The personal benefits. Torah Kedusha says that's the problem here. And what's going to come because of that? You want a personal benefit? You want to take a wife for your own personal benefit? You're not going to have a marriage. She's going to be snua alech. Because when a person takes a wife, and his whole feelings, and his whole focus, and his whole game plan is what he could benefit from the marriage, and chas v'sholom, what comes out, b'soiv is sinua. Only sinner can come out from such a matzav. A person has to learn to appreciate his wife. If he doesn't appreciate her, if he doesn't think what she does for him. And Chatz v'Shalom b'Zayir Shal Dava, she's going to be snua alav. Because at the end of the day, the beauty wears down, they get older. If you only married for the beauty of what he could get from it, and eventually she gets a little bit heavier, this, that, pregnant, he's not going to be so happy. Because he only married. But if you married to give, if you married to say thank you, to give, to work together, to build a home that exemplifies what a Yiddish home is supposed to be, then be'ezah Hashem, that marriage will last, and that marriage will produce gevaldige fruit. They tell the story of a person, of a certain guy came home one day, comes to the front of his house, he sees in front of the stoop right in front of the house, skates and some other stuff lying strewn all over the, like the front yard over there. And he knows that it looks like going to be, he's in for a baby, he's in for a surprise when he walks in his house. He comes over into the house and the house is a string. Everything's on the floor, things hanging from the chandeliers, this, that. He comes to the kitchen, everything's a mess, there's no supper. He's looking for his wife, he has his little daughter, Rifkala. Rifkala, where's mommy? I don't know, Tati. And Rifkala has chocolate smeared on the side of her face, over here, a little ketchup on her nose. Where's mommy? Well, she's in the den. He runs to the den, he's all, he doesn't know what to do. Where's the motherhood of this house? Who's running this place? He comes to the den, he was thinking his wife may be sick in bed, who knows, sick in the den. He's sitting there nicely, all comfortable, laying on the couch, and with a newspaper. So he asks his wife, what's going on here? So she says to him, you know, every day you ask me, what did I do today? Well, today I didn't do it. Everybody comes home, they think, you know, what'd she do already? What did the wife do? What is her, how much is she, what is it to do housework, so clean the house? What'd she do already today? She should have done so much more. If you don't learn to appreciate. They tell the story of another woman that one time, she came, the husband and wife came to the table, and she put down cattle fodder on the table. And they were going crazy. What's going on here? Is this supper? Well, she said, I don't know. For the last 50, you know, for as long as I can remember, I always put down food and I never got an expression. Thank you. No thank you. So I don't think it made a difference in what I served. But today she put down cattle fodder. She put down, you know, people don't learn to appreciate, to give that thank you. And it's not only the saying the thank you, it's feeling the thank you. To appreciate something, as I always say, you have to appreciate it. It's a very deep line, I'm saying. To appreciate something, you have to appreciate. What's to appreciate, Rabbi Isai? If anybody works in the business of real estate, they know you go to a certain property, you have to appreciate it. Appreciate it means you have to value, take the value of it. To appreciate something, you have to appreciate it. You have to value it. You have to know its value. You have to know what's being done. You have to think about it. According to Torah, Torah is very, 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 very marked on this Yisoy. HaKoros HaToyf. What's the result? A Ben Soiro Moira, rebellious child. Why is that the meter connected meter, the measure for measure? It's so beautiful for you, what we're saying. What is this Ben Soiro Moira? What is a rebellious child? He doesn't listen to his parents. What does that mean? The chinuch says in mitzvah lamed beis, but he doesn't listen to a chinuch. The chinuch says that the tachlis, the mitzvah of kibud av aim, why is kibud av aim such a special mitzvah? Says the chinuch, you know why? Because a mother and a father are the reason you're in this world. Without them, you wouldn't have been in this world. They said, I don't know what their kavanah was, what their reasons were. You're in this world today. You're breathing, eating. You're around today because of them. Not to mention all the early nights you had to get up. 2 a.m. to diaper you, to get you up, take care of you. This, that, all the schooling, everything they've done, all the years. Says the chinuch, the mitzvah of kibud av v'eim is based on what? And the chinuch says that if a person is not careful to thank the father that he sees what's going to be the end result, he'll slowly break away and not thank the father that he doesn't see either. And many of the problems today of kids that are off the derech, it's not the only reason, as Bishon, there's many other things, but it starts with the lack of a karas of toiv to the parents. The lack of saying a thank you. They send them away to Eretz Yisrael. How much money is spent. How much avoid is put into it. Karas of toiv to the parents. The melech works out beautiful. Since this person wasn't focused on a karas of toiv, he was thinking about his own person. What can I get from the war? Not thinking about a Kodesh Baruch Hu. What did he get in return? Measure for measure, he'll have a son that's not going to he's not going to listen to him either. That's the Yisroel voice, a Kodesh HaToiv. A Kodesh HaToiv is so strong, so powerful. A Kodesh HaToiv is the Yisroel of what a Yid is all about. We're called Yehudim. What does Yehuda come from? Hoida. Leah gave thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. She called him Yehuda. HaKadosh HaToiv is the main ingredient with which Yidin are supposed to live this world. Rabbi Rucham says that the reason why we have to thank the Mitzrayim, they're allowed to come to Klal Yisrael. Why? Because we stayed in their land the time there was a famine. Yeah, but yet, afterwards they didn't let us out. It doesn't make a difference what happened. But the time we needed them, they came through. Kurosh HaToiv, you have to thank them. They can come to Kal V'Kal Hashem. Oh, but Amun U'Moyev, and we started today, Rabbi Yisai. Amun U'Moyev, they can never come. And the reason is, they're lacking the basic, says the Ramban. The basic essentials to be a Yid, was Kurosh HaToiv. Who was their grandfather? Amun U'Moyev, Loit was the great-grandfather of Amun U'Moyev. And Amun U'Moyev knew that their whole existence is because of Avram, the father, the great-grandfather of the Yidden. What happened? Loit was sent out. Loit was being chased by four armies to capture him. Avram sacrificed his life to save Loit. Says Ramban, these people should have realized. These people should have thought for a second, what are we doing here if not for the Yidden? Go out. They're starving. Give them a little bread and water. Basic HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They weren't threatening their land. They weren't allowed to overtake their land. They just came by the land, go out and show us little expression of a thank you. But no. Total lack of gratitude. And therefore, that led to the next step. Because when a person doesn't learn to show gratitude to his friend, the next step is he'll totally disregard his friend. He can go to the madrega of killing Chas V'Shalom. The fact that a person doesn't recognize a toiva that's being done, once he disregards it, once he looks aside, the next step is he can totally disregard the person altogether. And that leads to the next madrega, Asher Socha Aleim Bilam Ben Ba'or. That answers our question. Because the fact that they didn't go out with the Lechem and Mayim, the act of not showing the smallest amount of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the smallest amount of gratitude, that small act led to a much greater act of caring about yourself and not caring about Klal Yisrael, to the point that you're ready to kill them. Again, it's for my personal benefit, but where did it start? It starts with the lack of a HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Paro, he says, Paro disregarded Hashem. He denied Hashem. He was atheist. Where did it come from, says the Medrash? Because he disregarded the toiva of his friend of Yosef. He forgot that Yosef sustained all of Mitzrayim, says the Chazal. And what happened because of that? He came to disregard HaKadosh Baruch Hu when Moshe Rabbeinu says, he said, who's Hashem? I don't know such a person. I don't know such a being. The same way. The fact that Lloyd's grandchildren forgot. But not only forgot, they disregarded the chesed that was done for them. They didn't feel indebted. They didn't feel indebted and want to show their gratitude for what was being done to them. That led to the next madrega, so we can get rid of them altogether. If we don't have to show them gratitude, so then if we need to protect ourselves, we'll get rid of them altogether. It doesn't make a difference. We're grateful people. This deteriorates us very much. The lack of the basic ingredient of what it means to be a Yid. They'll never come in. They're lacking the basic ingredients. Mitzrayim might have killed us, but they showed a a mitzvah of taking care of Klal Yisrael during the time. They didn't disregard the mitzvah of Gadol HaTov necessarily. There was a certain disregard, but Lamais, at the end of the day, they did something. But at the end of the day, the Amrim Moyav, Asher Lekidmu Etzel Melech HaMamayim, brought about that terrible thing, Asher Sochalim. So that's why the order is in that order itself. This is the great mitzvah that we saw by Gedolim, the history, all the history of Klal Yisrael, our great Gedolim, all worked on themselves. This great mitzvah of HaKadosh HaTov. They realized that without HaKadosh HaTov, without being grateful to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, without showing thanks, without every day when we come to davening, we thank you, Hashem. We know every time we say Moedim, we bow. What do we bow for? Because in order to properly thank, we have to bring ourselves down a little bit. When a person thinks about himself, when a person's on a high pedestal, it's very hard for him to thank. Everything's coming to him. But when he bends a little bit, when he shows a little bit that he's not the high on a high horse, he's not the most important person in the world right now. Not the whole world is not for only for me, myself, and I. But there's other people in this world. When he bows a little bit, when he bends a little bit, when he humbles himself a little bit, then the child can say, Moedim Anachnu, Hashem. We thank you for everything you've done. Hashem Tonu, you gave us health. You brought us into this world. How many people didn't make it? Stillborns, Chas V'Shalom. And when he came in, how many people died of crib death? And how many people, Rahman al-Tzal, little kids that didn't make it, Rahman al-Tzal, and so on and so forth. And every day we get up in the morning and we breathe and we eat and we function. How much of debt we owe HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's no end. So when a person starts to think about that, he says, one second, I owe the Baruch Hu so much. Just for a second, let me think. Let's put our focus, take ourselves away from our focus a little bit, and focus a little bit. The Baruch Hu gives me so much. How can I do this Aveira? I'm going now to do something wrong. Think for a second. Said the Chovas Avavas, many people went to Aveira, they thought, if they thrown into the home HaChabriya and how much they're getting, they went to Aveiros. If their focus was a little bit on, forget about the onesh. We're not talking about the onesh now, the punishment. That's basically the foolish way. Oh, I'm going to change our focus today. Our focus should be on thank you. And when a person feels that thank you, he's not going to want to do chait some reason. He's not going to do terrible things. He's not going to hurt his friend. He's not going to hurt other people. He's not going to do bad Aveiros because he feels someone dead. This is a way of working on ourselves in Elul. Instead of always thinking about the negative, oh, I don't want to get punished. Let's think about the positive. Let's think about our relationship and how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu does for us. Let's think of how much we can get a keshe with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this way of showing thanks. And the Chinuch says that when we start to show thanks, when we start to show thanks, next week's Parashat Bikurim, the pasuk ends off, Hashem's going to give you so much good. Why? That's all he wants. Recognize my goodness. I'm ready to give you. It says, and by the Chinuch says over there, Hashem wants to give. All he created us for us to give to us. He only created us to give and give and give and give and give and give. What opens up the fountain, says the Chinuch? What turns opens up the faucet? One thing. That word of thank you. The Birkas Hamazon that we thank Hashem for the food. The tefillah that we thank for our everyday existence. Those thank yous open up the force of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's all I need. You're recognizing my dive. You're thanking for the good. You're realizing that I mean only your good. You're careful from an avera not to do this thing and not to do that thing, not to go to this place, not to that place, because you feel indebted. This is what I created human beings for. I created to be a Yehudi, a person who knows how to give hodah, another person knows how to thank. We get to that Madrega. We come to that understanding. Our whole relationship with other individuals will be different. Our relationship with our parents will be different. Our relationship with the Yiddish will be different. When we start to thank our roommates, we start to thank our Abayim, we start to thank this friend and that friend for the smallest amount of toy, but certainly for the big things that they do. Then slowly and slowly we can build and build upon it and realize how indebted we are. We're not going to do that. We're loving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the Yisrael Hashem says when a person loves his parents, he doesn't want to hurt them. He won't do anything to hurt them. and will always be looking to do more, even more than they ask, because he feels so much indebted to them. This is the time of hour to recognize. Before Rosh Hashanah, when Hashem is going to give us a new year, he's going to give us life, true life. We don't realize it, Rabbi Yisrael. But in this year, Rosh Hashanah, that's it. The Cheskas Chai is over. The fact that you've lived out the year, that was because last year was Nifsak. Now you have to win a new year. I think it's double pressure to me that if we don't appreciate what life is, it's not so pressure we can deserve for another year of life. Because the Kodesh Baruch Hu wants to give it, but he wants one thing: appreciate what I'm doing for you. Realize that I'm giving you life. It's so pashut. It's so simple. We know what life is. We know what it is to live one breath and breathe one breath. We go to a doctor and feel the whole system, how a person has to breathe, the lungs and the heart and everything has to work simultaneously in unison. Thousands of different things going on in the body with the brain cells and the things sending up the message to the brain. Thousands of things have to go right in order for a person to do one act. And every day, simply, they come into being. You do everything. You get up in the morning, you speak, you talk, you eat. Everything functions and it goes and works. Do we thank? Do we say an Asher Yotzer with a little bit of Kavanah? What does it mean, Asher Yotzer? It's the Bereshit of Creator, Asher Yotzer, it's all in the Chochmah. Ufar avoy nikavim, nikavim, chalulim, chalulim. Tolu ivi yadu lefnei chizeh vaydach. Hashem, you realize, Shiri Pesach, there's one opens up too far. You can have a hole in the heart. Well, one of the organs closes up. I have a relative now that can't go, he can't urinate. Never. It's closed up. He has to have a certain operation. He can't go to the bathroom. He has to wear a bag. Never. This guy, he cannot exist for one second. Without the permission of Tim King, how do they pump in Chaim into us? Do we appreciate Chaim? How come we ask for another year of Chaim? What do you think he's going on? Who knows where he's going? He took his vacation. He's talking about Chaim, Chaim, Chaim. Does he appreciate what Chaim is? Does he appreciate what HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him? Well, it's okay, Baruch Hashem. Last year I got a good psak. Another year, all my friends did. Not simple, Baruch Hashem. We'll talk about this more in the coming weeks. Elul is a time to wake up, to start to think a little bit. We're young still. We're not so old. We don't like to think. We're not expected, maybe, in the world to start thinking about thoughts. But a Yid is expected. The expectation of a Yid is to be a Yehudi, to be a thanker. To be a person that's always showing gratitude. We learn that midah of Eiz Hashem. Kadosh Baruch Hu will say, this is what I created the Yid for. This is the tachas of the Bria. The Yid gets up in the morning and says, Moida ani lefanecho. Hashem aleikai velekei avisai. Moida ani lefanecho. Every morning. Shesam, he said, before he goes to sleep, Shesam tachas miyotzeh v'vejim edges, but he said in the morning, Moida ani lefanecho. Shechzal to be nishmosi bechemlo, Rabba munasecho. We say moed ani. The first words of every yid's mouth is moed ani lefanecho. Shechzal to be nishmosi. He returned my neshama to me, brother. If he didn't return, he would die in his sleep. How many people die in their sleep? Moed ani lefanecho. That's the importance of Boisai of these days, to get our focus on right, to tune in. What we're doing in this world, the purpose we came to this world. When we do that, we properly thank. As we said earlier, the faucets open up and Hashem showers us. Showers our families, and all our loved ones. With tremendous, tremendous Yad Shemaya, tremendous good things. Year of Bracha, Hatzlocha, Parnosa, all good Zachar, Boisah. This year to a great, great, great Shana Toivu Masuke and a good Gebet Joe.